Amen. We're continuing outside of the box. And tonight we're going to be talking about outside the box, spirit-led and spirit-filled church. And that's what we want to be in the Lord. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, we're going to read verse 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Amen. You can be seated. Again, just to folks, any young people that are going, want to go to the Rush, please let them know tonight so they can plan on the travel. So please get a hold of them tonight. Let them go. Don't come here expecting 4 o'clock or 3:30 and they don't have room for you. All right? So let them know tonight. Outside the box, spirit-led and spirit-filled church. This scripture that we read is a bold statement of Jesus' promise to believers as they experience that is nothing like anything they've ever heard of or seen before. The scripture said, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you look at the setting for this passage of scripture, the statement, it is the feast that would end the Jewish festival of tabernacles, where many people have come, and when they came to this feast, they came ready to eat. They had traveled far from away to come to this feast. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They are ready to sit down. They're ready to fill their hungry bellies and whatever the host has provided for them. And Jesus realizes this. He understood. He had the understanding that the guests were hungry. He knew they were ready to drink. He knew they were ready to eat. And he stands up and he shouts to them, John 7, 37 and 38 says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, can you imagine this? Here they are. They're sitting there. They're waiting to eat. And Jesus stands up and starts yelling that. You ever been somewhere or on a somebody walks up on a corner and they start preaching or doing whatever? It kind of feels a little awkward, doesn't it? Well, that I imagine that's probably how it felt. So I think many of the people were looking at him and they thought, man, it's strange. But many who comprehended what he was promising understood that he was offering them something much better than the great feast that was going to be provided. The feast was very important. The feast was well prepared. The feast was rehearsed. The feast was expensive. That feast was what everyone expected. The feast was tradition. And the feast was great. But Jesus stands up and he cries out to the people, "I've got something much better than this that is prepared for you." Can I get a little more monitor up here, please? He let them know that, thank you, that there was coming something that no level of expertise, no level of preparation, no level of rehearsal, or no level of expense or tradition could ever substitute for. There was coming something that was ginormous. It was something that no glass of water, no glass of wine could compete with. As a matter of fact, he likened it not to just a nice glass of water or cold, refreshing water, but he said it is like a river of living water, or a river of eternity water. He said, what I have to offer you will not just keep you alive, and it will not just refresh you for a day or two, but he said, this living water will be alive inside of you, and it will flow out of you. Isn't that awesome? There will be no holding this thing in, he says. It will flow out of you whether you want it to or not. It will flow out of you when you want it to and when you're not even expecting it to. He said, it's like a river. It will be continuous. It will be constant running out of you. It will be relentless running out of you. Verse 39 tells us that he's not really talking about water per se, but rather he's talking about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit infilling. That's what he's talking about. You see, I shared with you last week with the message outside the box, Spirit infilling. And we talked about the miracle of speaking in tongues that comes when a person is filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost or with the Holy Spirit. But this week, I want to talk to you about Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church. So here's a question for you. How can a person talk about something they've never experienced before? Come on. Think about it. How could you be a successful salesperson if a salesperson of a product you yourself have never tried? You know, it'd be kind of hard to go up and try to sell a vacuum to somebody and, do you have one? Oh, I wouldn't buy this thing. I go to Walmart and buy their special. That would convince you that you need to buy it, right? We have to experience things to be able to tell others they need this. You have to believe in a product. If you want to sell something, you have to believe in that product and convince them they need this. So how can a church talk about and promise to the world the help of the Holy Spirit if in fact it is not a Spirit-filled or Spirit-led church? Amen? You see, church has to be more than something that is important to do on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday night or youth night. It has to be more than well-prepared. And we need to be well-prepared. Amen? But it has to be more than that. It has to be more than just rehearsed. It has to be more than expensive. Well, we're not that expensive. Well, operating a church is not cheap. Okay? Anybody want to pay some electric bills or gas bills? Just see me after church. It has to be more than just everyone excited. Or what everybody expects. It has to be more. It should never be tradition. I believe this church needs to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. You believe that tonight? Amen. Come on, that's it. We need to be. We need to let the Lord guide us. And I believe this church needs to be a place, folks, where the Holy Spirit of God has free reign to operate and to manifest. That's why I encourage us all to worship the Lord. Let God have his way in our life. Amen. Sometimes we can sit around and stare and look at people and kind of intimidate people into not doing what God wants us to do. We should never be that way. We should get right in the flow, and everybody's expecting everybody to worship the Lord because why? The Spirit is leading us. Right? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm after more than just a social gathering here today. Come on. You see, I'm not a good enough speaker to captivate you with my words. I need to be completely dependent upon God for the words that I share with you. This church is prepared. We are rehearsed. We do aim for excellence in all that we do. But beyond that, folks, on top of all of that, more important than all of that, what you should expect beyond all the work, what you should expect beyond all the rehearsal and all the expense and all the preparedness is for God to show up every service. Come on, hallelujah. We should expect that. I believe if we don't expect God to come and show up in service, we are cheating ourselves and we are cheating others. Amen? Folks, God's not going to come if we don't have an expectation of Him. Just because it's Wednesday night and we're coming in at the last minute and we're sliding into our pew and sitting down, we should be able to say, God, I need to hear from you tonight. I don't want to just come and sit on a warm up pew. I need to hear the Word of God to change my life. Hey, when it's time to worship, I want to touch the throne. I want God to touch me. I want to leave different. You look at Jacob. Jacob was wrestling with the Lord. And he didn't get that touch right at the first. It took some struggling with God. And folks, I think we ought to understand that. Hey, just because it didn't happen immediately, I mean, I got to continue to worship God. I got to struggle through this flesh that says, I need a touch. Amen. God, I need you to move in my life. No, not right now. I'm not letting go until you touch me. Come on. Do we want to be Spirit-led? Do we want to be Spirit-filled? Do we want to be able to tell people you need this because it will make a difference in your life? It will change you. You got to be a good salesman. What are you saying, Pastor? Folks, God expects us to tell the world about this. If your family is going to be saved, it's going to be through you. Come on. If your neighbors are going to be saved, it's going to be because of you. Your co-workers that you work with, if they're going to be saved, it's going to be because of you. That is your mission field. And you need to be able to sell them on this. Come on. Anybody believe that tonight? We have to be able to convince them you need God in your life. You got the problems? You see people and sometimes they may come to you and talk to you. Hey, man, can you just pray for me? We need to let them know you need this. You need more than just us praying for you. Now, I will and I want to and I'm glad you came to me. But you need what I have. When the beggar asked Peter, and then when it came out of the temple, he said, you got any alms? And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. This is what you need. Amen? So what should you expect beyond all this work? We rehearsed, we do aim for excellence in all that we do, but beyond that, and on top of all that, more important than all that, what you should expect beyond all the work, all the rehearsal, all the preparedness, what should we expect? You see, without His touch on our service, we're just another nice place to gather, another nice place to worship on Sunday morning. We've been talking about the church that's outside of the box. If we're going to be a box church, then we probably don't need to talk about John 7:38. But if we're going to be a church that is outside the box, then we are going to need His help getting there. We're going to need God to help us to get there. Come on. Listen, folks. We're going to need His help getting there. And the key to becoming an outside-of-the-box church is found in John 7:38. Hang on a second here. I lost my place. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, we have to be willing. We have to be willing and able to allow the Holy Ghost to flow through us as individuals and as a corporate church. God gives his spirit to those that hunger for it. Tonight, do you hunger for the things of God in your life? Do you hunger to be led by him? Or do we want to continue to do our own thing? We could just be average. But I don't know about you, but I want to go beyond average. This next year, I want it to be dynamic. Amen. I want God to bless and move in a mighty way. Amen. Let's finish out the year that way. But amen, we have to look at, hey, I need God to move in my life. I need God to not only touch my life, I want him to touch my family's life. I want him to touch my neighborhood. I want to make a difference in my workplace. I want to be led by the Spirit. So we have to be willing. We have to be able to allow the Holy Ghost, amen, to flow through us as individuals and as a church. I encourage everyone here tonight, listen to me. When you come to church, lead in worship right where you're at. Come on. You know how it is sometimes, folks. When one person starts dancing, somebody around you starts dancing, next thing you know, you got a whole bunch of people. Let's see your area, wherever you're sitting, be led by you. I told you the story how my pastor, you know, came to me one day and he said, I want you to know you lead in worship right there in your pew. And I thank you for it. You know why I worship the way I do? Because I want my children to worship. I want my wife to worship. I want people around me to worship. Amen. It's because what God wants from me, amen, and I want to be leading in his worship. So we have to be willing. Folks, realize this, okay? Realize this church will never become a spirit-filled and spirit-led church until you and I as individuals become spirit-filled and spirit-led. Now, I asked, why not? Because people want to make up all kinds of excuses and reasons why we should not get too carried away in church. Come on. Don't get too carried away. They want to keep everybody kind of quiet. They want to tell us to settle down. Why? Well, church is not a mortuary. Church is not a funeral home. Church is a place where the Holy Ghost is supposed to have free reign, opportunity to touch lives that are hurting and who need ministered to. Come on. Has anybody here ever brought somebody to church? Three of you? Four of you? When you bring somebody to church, what are you hoping for? Come on, somebody talk to me. All right, one at a time. They get touched. Anybody else? Somebody to talk to them? Somebody to pray for them? The Lord moves in a mighty way. They get the Holy Ghost. What? They stay? Yeah. Okay. So all of us here, when we brought somebody, we were hoping for something for them, right? Right? So, when somebody else brings somebody, do you worship so that their person receives what they need? You see, it's kind of funny how it is sometimes. I've seen this over the years where, you know, somebody brings somebody to church and they're just, oh, I hope God moves in a mighty way. I hope we have a blowout service. I hope this and that. Well, see, if we all come with the mindset that I want to be led by God tonight, I want to minister myself tonight, But when we come and, you know, part of us are not worshiping, some of us are white-knuckling the pew in front of us, we disappoint others that brought somebody. You see, so we all need to act like my best friend's coming tonight or my mom's coming tonight, and we're going to worship God. And if somebody comes tonight, whether I bring somebody or not, I want to worship. I don't want to be a reason that God doesn't move. Come on. You see, I think we, you know, I always try to pray, God, use me to minister in service tonight or this morning. I want to be a blessing to somebody. Folks, we don't want our church to be a mortuary or a funeral home. We want people to come here and feel the presence of God, to feel the love of God, to feel the friendliness that we believe this church is. And it's up to each and every one of us to do our part. We need to be at church when the doors are open so that we can be a blessing. You know, you don't want to bring somebody and 30 people are out. I like to have people come when the place is packed out and say, man, God is blessing us. We should be on time. Oh, it's getting quiet. Huh? You know why? Should be on time? Because we ought to say, like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't want to wait till the last minute to get to church. I think many of us can do much better. Because we need to be led by the Spirit. It says, I'm going to church to worship Him. Amen. I'm going to be there as early as I can be there. You see, we have to have that. Church is a place where the Holy Ghost is supposed to have free reign, touch people, change people. Minister. See, there is no form here. There is no fashion here. We have no real program. We are ready at any time, any moment, to step wherever and whatever is going, we are doing to allow God to work and minister in people's lives. Amen? If God wants to shut down the music and have just people hit these altars, then so be it. Amen? We want God to be able to do whatever He wants. We're gonna go with our normal routine, but when God says, let's change gears, that's the way we want to go. We are not led by the clock. Come on. There's only one requirement for us as a church and as individuals, to become a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led church. John 7:37-38, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We have to want it. We have to want this. We have to be thirsty for it, folks. It has to be what we desire when we come to church, but we can't be nonchalant about it. Amen? We can't be careless about it. We have to want this. Listen, folks, I appreciate all of you who work so hard to minister to the church in our services. I appreciate our singers and our musicians. I appreciate the sound team. I appreciate the Sunday school teachers. I appreciate the youth and hyphen leaders. I appreciate everything that is done as far as cleaning the church and all the grass mowed and all those things to make our church look nice for people to come. I appreciate that. But folks, if we don't have the touch of God and the moving of His Spirit upon all that we do, then we are missing out on an amazing opportunity around here. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, I believe God wants to meet us. Amen. Jesus wants to touch our lives. The Holy Ghost wants to fill somebody even today. And as we are a church where real needs are met in this church, where lives are transformed, understand, folks, you and I cannot do that. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can. And we need to meet him here. Amen. We need to desire him to be here, and he will show up. I don't have any ability in myself to transform anything, but Jesus can. And he will, if we as a congregation will only become spirit-filled and spirit-led. Let's stand here tonight. Thank the Lord. Amen. I pray that you'll just desire this. Amen. And seek the face of the Lord. And ask God, help us, Lord, to be led by you. Amen. That when somebody comes, because of our worship and our praise and our being sensitive to the things of God, will make a difference in people's lives. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe if we do that, folks, I believe this. If we continue to allow God, and God starts doing what he wants to do in our church and in your lives and all that around us, we're not going to be able to let them fit in here. When people start hearing of healings and God moving in miracles, they're going to want to come and see what's happening. We need to be apostolic. Hallelujah. Now, I know you may be here and you may, oh, I've heard this stuff over the years. Well, I don't care. I don't care how old you are and how many years you've been hearing it. It'll happen if we allow God to lead us like we're supposed to be led. Amen? And all we can do is keep saying, just kind of reach that goal. But if we don't ever talk about it, we don't ever desire it, we'll never get there. But we got to keep pushing. And prodding, amen. And that's what I, as your pastor, that's my job. And I hope I'm doing a good enough job for you. Amen. Because I'm going to do what God asked me to do. Amen. You don't like it? Well, there's others around. Amen. Believe me, I don't want you to go anywhere else. I want you right here. I love each and every one of you. Whether you like me or not, I love you anyway. And I know there's some that don't like me. That's between you and God. Amen. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. And God, I ask right now that you just touch and move here tonight. Help us. Help us, Lord God, to reach the goal that you want for us. Lord God, to reach that, Lord, desire to have you in our midst and leading us and guiding us. I pray, God, that you just bless each one. We'll take this home and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name.